It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? My neighbor. Have you ever seen a thumb piano? I have one here. I borrowed it from a new friend. This is what it looks like. Guess it's called a thumb piano because you play it with your thumbs. Ann Pulaski loaned this to me. She's a storyteller. I'll show you her picture, because we're going to meet her in a little while. Ms. Pulaski. We've been invited to hear her tell some stories at her storytelling room. We'll go in about, 12 or 13 minutes. Yeah. Maybe she's going to use one of these in her stories. Thumb piano. Isn't that interesting? But in the meantime, we have to wait. Yeah. What do you do when you have to wait a while? Do you play with toys? Or look at books? Or listen to music? There are lots of things that children can do. Some that grown-ups don't do so well anymore. Who can crawl under a table? Who can sit under a chair? Who can fit their feet in little shoes and sleep most anywhere? Who can play very much longer, play much harder than grown-ups ever dare? You're a child, so you can do it. You can do it everywhere. Who can wake up every morning and be ready right away? Who can notice all the tiny things that other people say? Who can make the things they play with something different for every single day? You're a child, and you can do it. Children do it anyway. Roll in the grass, squash in the mud, lick an ice cream cone. Sing to a bass, splash in a flood, buy a stepping stone. All alone, who can put your hand in my hand and be ready to feel all safe and strong? You're a child, so you can do it. Children do it all life long. Do you ever do some of those things? Roll in the grass? What a good feel that is when you can. Children are also very good at something else. Pretending. I've often told you that. And it's true. Why don't we do some pretending while we're waiting? We can pretend with the trolley in the neighborhood of make-believe, right? Trolley. I like to make the trolley go back and forth. You know how I do it with this little switch down here. Yeah. Let's pretend that King Friday is making rules so that everyone will have to stay close by. He's probably doing that because Reardon left yesterday. Ready for the neighborhood of make-believe? Right, Paul?
Halt! Very good, trolley. You know when to stop when I say halt now. Where are you going and who said you could go there? Oh, well, that's all right. You may go ahead. There's just too much coming and going around here. It's a king's duty to see that stability and calm are maintained here. Halt! Just where do you think you are going, may I ask?
Well, King Friday, I was just going to go over and see Grandpère.
Well, Grandpère is not home, Bob Dog. He got my permission to go to the market to buy potatoes.
Yeah, well, thanks for telling me.
Next time, ask me before you want to go far. We can't have people just going wherever they wish, whenever they wish, you know.
Yes, sir.
Bye, Uncle Friday. See you tomorrow.
Halt! Halt, halt, halt. And come here to the castle, please.
Well, Uncle Freddy, whatever is the matter?
What do you mean telling me I'll see you tomorrow?
Oh, I meant just that. I probably will not see you again today. And, most likely, I will see you again tomorrow.
You're wrong, Niece Aberlin.
What do you mean?
I mean you aren't going anywhere, so I will see you today, right now.
Oh, but Uncle Freddy, I am going somewhere. I'm going to someplace else. Harriet invited me there, and she even said I could sleep over.
It's too late. What's done is done.
What do you mean, what's done is done?
There has been too much coming and going from this neighborhood.
But Uncle Friday, we all have friends, and we like to go and visit them sometimes.
Unless you ask my permission and tell me in advance where you are going and why, you won't see anybody, Niece Evelyn. Do you understand?
No, Uncle Friday, I do not understand.
Think about it, then. You'll see how right I am.
But, Uncle Friday, if I have to...
Good day, Niece Evelyn. Next time you want to travel, simply get a permission slip from me. Mm-hmm.
A permission slip? Next time I want to travel? Oh, brother. Uncle Friday must really be mad that Reardon made up his own mind and went away when he wanted to. We'd better do something about this permission slip business right away. There is one person who is really good at standing up to Uncle Friday. And the name of that person is Lady Elaine Fairchild.
What is it, sweetie? Ha ha! When I hear my name, I just tingle all over.
Lady Elaine.
Mm-mm.
I need your help with Uncle Friday.
Of course, Toots. What's he done now?
This is what he's done. Nobody in the neighborhood can travel anywhere without asking him and getting a permission slip from him.
Oh, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, we all like it here. Nobody ever goes away for long without asking him. Purple Panda asked him before he left. If I went any further than Jupiter, I'd probably tell him myself.
But Lady Elaine, he won't even let me go to someplace else. We can't go anywhere.
Uh-oh. This does mean trouble, trouble, trouble.
What are we going to do, Lady Elaine? He doesn't trust us anymore.
We'll shock him. That's what we'll do. I'll go get my leaf mat.
Shock him? Leaf mat? What does she mean?
Here we are. I think I better demonstrate some free flying to prove to that kingy of ours that he can't keep us here against our will. Okay, Toots, let's go over to the castle.
Okay.
He'll see what I mean. Always did love flying around this tree. I like doing it with X, of course. Oh, yes, right up into the blue.
Fairchild, come down here this minute. Halt and come down.
I can't hear you, Friday. I'm too far away.
Fairchild, no one leaves this neighborhood without my permission.
That's what you think, Friday. I'm leaving and I don't have your permission. Whoopee!
Whoop-boop-boop-boo! Why, she can't do this. She can't get away with defying my orders.
How are you going to stop her, Uncle Friday?
I don't know, but I'll find a way. I'll certainly find a...
Whee! This is fun. And away I go, Friday. Right around here where I'm free.
Come down this instant, Fairchild. Right down here.
Come and get me, Friday. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Whippy-woo.
Look at her going off like that. Oh, here comes Trolley. Halt, Trolley. Now, where are you going now? Oh, all right then, since you ask my permission. Carry on, Trolley.
Did you ever have your grandparents or a special aunt or uncle, someone you love very much, come and stay at your house? And then when they said they had to go back home, did you ever try to make them stay by giving them something that was yours or getting angry and telling them you just wouldn't let them go? You see, King Friday first gave Reardon some presents. Made him a chamberlain and all sorts of fancy things. But he left. And then later, King Friday made a rule that nobody could leave the neighborhood without his permission. It's often very hard to let people you love go away. Of course, when Reardon went away, he let everyone know that he'd be coming back again because he liked to. Oh, it's about time for us to go to the storytelling place. Yeah, so we can hear some of Miss Pulaski's stories. But then we'll come back here afterwards, all right? We'll take the thumb piano, because we borrowed it, and we'll take it back. Come along to the storytelling place.
Ocean. Well, we're going to have some stories today, but, oh, hello. I'm so glad you brought this. I'm going to use it in our first story.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for loaning it to me.
Yes.
Is it all right if we wait
yes,
and listen
please.
To the story?
Please, have a seat.
Good.
And share our stories with us.
Over here.
Hi,
Mr. Hi. I'm glad to be with you today. We'll listen together.
Yeah.
We're going to start with a story that comes from Africa. It's called The Lion in the Path.
Yikes.
There was once a farmer and his wife, and they spent most of their time working in the fields very hard. Now, they had no children yet, and so the wife would often get very lonely, and so she would say, "Husband, may I go off to visit my family?" Because it was the custom for a wife to ask her husband permission in that part of the world. And then he would say, "Of course," and she would go off. So one day, they were busy working in the field, and the wife said, "Oh, husband, I'm really tired and lonely. Could I go off and visit my family? And he said, all right, wife, but I want you to pay attention. Now, I have heard that of late there has been a lion in the path above the village. So I want you to be sure to take the path below the village. Now, the wife really was not paying attention. She was just in a hurry to get off. So she said, oh, husband, I know the way. And she set off. And after a time, the man suddenly had a very funny feeling here. And he said, oh dear, I think my wife has taken the wrong path. And he went along until he came to where the two paths divided, one above the village and one below the village. And there he saw the footprints of his wife in the path that ran above the village, the one where he had heard a lion was living. So he raced along the path, and suddenly, what should he see?
The lion.
Yes, facing his wife. And he thought very quickly, and then he remembered his little mbira, which he always carried in his back pocket, his little thumb piano. So he said, if I can play a tune, maybe the lion will forget about us. So he began to play very softly, over and over. And sure enough, the lion stopped looking at his wife, and he began to look at the man with his little mbira. So the man just kept on playing and looking at the lion, and he said to his wife, run, wife, get out of here. And she turned and ran and didn't look back. And he kept on playing his little thumb piano. And then he thought, how am I going to get out of here? So he took a step backward. But the lion took a step forward. And he thought, that will not help me get out of here. And he took two steps backward. But the lion took two steps forward. So he thought, I will never get out of here. I will have to spend my life playing this little thumb piano. And then suddenly, he heard a voice at his knee. Psst. And he looked down out of the corner of his eye, and there was a little rabbit. And the rabbit said, if you will give me your thumb piano, I will get you out of here. Oh, yes, said the man, and he leaned over and he handed the mbira to the rabbit without stopping playing, and the rabbit picked it up in his paws and kept on playing just as nice as you please. Well, the man turned and ran, and the little rabbit, he kept on playing with his paws, and he just stepped backward and backward and backward until he went pop into his hole. And the lion looked around and shook his mane and said, dear me, I was sure I saw a man in front of me. Oh, well, I guess I'll just have to go elsewhere for my dinner. And that's the story of the lion in the path. Later, we're going to have a chance to play on the thumb piano.
Is that yours?
Yes, that's mine. Mm-hmm. I have several of them.
How much people do you have in your family?
In my family, I have just myself.
Oh, do you have seven of those?
Oh, I have quite a few of those, but I share them with lots of children who come to visit me in the library where I work. Yes. Now, I'd like to go into another story. And this one comes from the country of Turkey.
Turkey?
Yes, isn't that an unusual name for a country? We think of a turkey as something to eat, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes. But I would like to tell you this story because it is about a country, or it comes from a country. It's about a man and his wife in that country. And the children there, well, they don't think of turkey as something to eat. They think of that as the name of their country. Now, here's the story. The Hadja had been working in the fields very hard, and he was hot and tired and dirty. And then he decided to go on home. But on the way, he began to meet all of his friends, and they were dressed in their finest clothes. They were on their way to a party at Jamal's house. And they said to him, "Hadja, aren't you coming? Don't you remember you were invited to the party also?" And the Hadja said, "Yes, I had forgotten all about it." And at first he was going to go home and get cleaned up and dressed in his finest clothes. But then they said to him, "You will be late. You will miss the best food." And so the Hadja thought, "I will go as I am." So he went to the door of Jamal's house. But a strange thing happened. When he came in, no one paid any attention to him. They put him off in a corner all by himself. And when the food came around, and Jamal offered everyone else something to drink and delicious things to eat, he did not give anything to the Hadja. And the Hadja thought, "Well, this is very strange." So he slipped out quietly, and he went to his home, and he said to his wife, "Fatima, help me get my bath ready and my finest clothes out." And he bathed quickly, and then he put on the best clothes he had. And then he raced back to Jamal's house. And this time, Jamal welcomed him with open arms, and he said, "Oh, welcome, Hadja." And he gave him the best place at the table. And then he gave him something to eat and to drink. But the Hadja, what did he do? He picked up a little piece of meat, and he opened up his coat, and he put the meat in the pocket, and he said, "Eat, little coat, eat." Well, the other guests looked at him, and Jamal thought, "What is the Hadja doing?" Then he picked up some grapes, and he put it in his other pocket and said, "Eat, little coat, eat." Well, he kept on doing this until finally Jamal could not take it any longer. And he said, "Hadja, what are you doing? I invited you here for you to have a good time and have all the things to eat. And you are giving it to your coat." And the Hadja said, "Well, when I came here before, in my old clothes, no one paid any attention to me. And you didn't give me anything to eat or drink. But now, when I came in my fine clothes, you offer me everything that you have. So I thought that it was my clothes you invited to the party and not me. And that's why I've been feeding my coat." Well, they had to admit that the Hadja was right. And Jamal said, "The next time, I will make you welcome no matter what clothes you come in."
I really like those stories, Miss Pulaski. Thank you very much for allowing me to bring my television friend to your storytelling time today.
You're welcome.
You know, that last one I think is so important for people to realize that what's really special are the people inside.
Yes.
And not just the clothes that they're wearing.
I agree.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you all for letting me be part of your storytelling time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
It isn't really your clothes that are the important thing about you. No, it's you yourself. There's something fancy about everybody. Some are fancy on the outside. Some are fancy on the inside. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Boys are boys from the beginning. When you're born a boy baby, you grow up to be a bigger boy and then a man. Girls are girls right from the start. When you're born a girl baby, you grow up to be a bigger girl and then a woman. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can grow up to be the mummies. Only boys can grow up to be the daddies. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. I think you're a special person, and I like your ins and outsides. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. You know, you can make up your own stories and tell them to your own friends. You can make up stories about a fancy song. You can make up stories about things that you're thinking right now. They're your stories. It gives you a good feeling to be able to do that. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. You always make it a special day for me by just your being yourself. I'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Gave the money to make this television visit are the people of public television stations, Ford Foundation, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Sears Roebuck Foundation, and Johnson & Johnson.